Call the roll.
Chair Trujillo.
Present.
Vice Chair Porter. Representatives Albritton.
Here.
Anton.
Yes.
Combi.
Here.
Dental.
Here.
Eagle.
Here.
Hudson.
Yep.
Hudson.
Here.
Reed. Rogers.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
And Watson.
Here.
Let the record show that a quorum is present. Members of the committee and members and people in attendance in the audience, it's this week the state of Florida has lost two great Floridians, two great Americans. As most of you know, Senator Larsenia Bullard, a member of my delegation, passed away over the weekend. And I'm sad to announce that a fellow representative and colleague of ours, Representative Clay Ford, has passed away today. I will respectfully ask for a moment of silence in honoring both of their memories. Thank you. Everyone in the audience, please turn off your cell phones at this time. If you wish to speak during today's meeting, please fill out an appearance card. Today we'll take up four bills, House Bill 321, House Bill 357, House Bill 661, and House Bill 4045. Rep. LaRosa, you're recognized to present House Bill 321 relating to growth management.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee, for hearing my bill today. HB 321 is truly a small business incentive bill. What it does is it lowers the entry level for small businesses looking to either expand or looking to open up in a new shop, maybe creating new construction. And what it does is that it removes impact fees that the city or the county may be charging. It also removes concurrency fees, transportation concurrency fees that the city or the county may be charging. And this overall is done with 6,000 square feet or less. So if a company is looking to move into an area or to a new space or possibly construct a new building, it'd be anything under 6,000 square feet or less, they would not be allowed to be charging the impact fees of either concurrencies on transportation or transportation impact fees. Mr. Chairman, that's my bill.
Before we get into questions, Representative Cumby has a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to take a second and introduce Jerry Hill, our state attorney from District 10, who has been our state attorney for 29 years. He's a great friend and does a great job. He's also Representative Albritton's state attorney as well, I believe, too. I think District 10 extends down Polk, Highlands, Hardy. So it's good to see him here.
Thank you, sir. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Hill. Representative Rogers also has a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members, and those in the audience. I am proud to introduce a person who is very dear to me, a fellow colleague in local government when I was there in the city of Lauderdale Lakes, and that is a former vice mayor and currently chairman of the Community Redevelopment Agency, Commissioner Lavoie Williams. Please stand.
Welcome, Commissioner Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative LaRosa, I believe you just explained your strike call. Are there any questions on Representative LaRosa's strike call? Seeing none, is there any members? Representative Rogers, you're recognized for a question on the strike call.
Strike call, let's speak to level of service as it relates to transportation impact. Your development, as you stated, is small business, and 6,000 square feet, did it speak to the number of persons or whatever, the level of traffic on roadways that this new development would create?
Representative LaRosa, you're recognized.
No, ma'am, it would be all business, so anything non-residential, commercial-based, and because every city and county has a different regulation of how they how they would zone that, it's a general commercial, so that would incorporate retail and office and possibly even an industrial.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you, but maybe I need to be a little bit more clear.
Sure.
Okay. Retail will bring, we're hoping that everything we do create employees in those locations, and employees will create traffic on our roadways, if you will agree. Now, you're saying the level of service, sometimes you have roadway level of service, A, B, C, D, all the way down to F. So any type of traffic or increase in traffic could impact that level of service created, established by that local government. And what are we proposing? How will we address those level of service impact on our roadways?
Representative Laurels, you're recognized.
Well, being capped at 6,000 square feet, we basically obviously capped the maximum size, and nature that would also, you know, cap the amount of traffic that would be created there. Any business that's looking to go into an area and they're only building 6,000 square feet would be in a well-developed area. It wouldn't be far out to where it's generating any additional traffic or any additional utilities or infrastructure that ultimately would be needed. So we're talking about in an urban type setting is where this would ultimately fit into.
Any further questions? Is there any members in the audience that wish to speak as to the strike all amendment? I have some appearance cards, but they're on the bill. Does anybody here wish to speak as to the strike all amendment? Seeing none, are there any members of the committee who wish to debate the strike all amendment? Seeing none, if there's no objection, we'll adopt the strike all amendment as presented. We're now on the bill as amended. Are there any questions, Representative LaRosa, as the bill on the bill as amended? It's the same bill that he presented in the strike all. Seeing none, we have some members of the audience who wish to speak. Leticia Adams, Florida Chamber of Commerce, you're recognized. Thank you. David Cruz, Florida League of Cities, you're recognized.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the committee. David Cruz with the Florida League of Cities. With all possible deference and respect to Representative LaRosa for working on us on this bill, I want to thank him for limiting the scope of the bill through the strike all. However, the League of Cities still has some concerns with the bill, namely the decision to charge impact fees or transportation concurrency. In past legislation that this body has passed has been passed down to the local level. We feel that the decision whether to levy impact fees is a local decision, that the local community knows best what the infrastructure needs are for each and every city, and that when possible, several of our cities have decided not to charge impact fees because they know that by not charging them, perhaps we could stimulate economic development, we could create some new businesses to move into a city. However, some cities have not been able to do that, and because their infrastructure needs are different in every city, we think that this is a home rule decision, and that this decision should be made at the local level versus a one-size-fits-all decision up here in Tallahassee. Another concern of ours with the bill deals with the fact that although we're limiting it now to 6,000 square feet, the bill is silent to the effects of transportation impacts that that business will have. The point is that a fast food restaurant will have a different impact on the roads by the amount of cars and traffic that a fast food restaurant generates versus a dentist's office. And this bill is silent as to how much impact that establishment is going to generate. With that in mind, I would ask the committee to please oppose the bill, and I look forward to continuing working with the sponsor as it moves through the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. We have a question for Mr. Cruz from the League of Cities.
Mr. Cruz, just a quick
Representative
question.
Hudson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Cruz, just a quick question, because I know I met you in the hallways on this one before. Wouldn't you think the work that Mr. Representative LaRosa has done, bringing down from the supermajority down to majority, you know, you mentioned a one-size-fits-all approach and home rule, wouldn't you think that gives you the ability to overturn this bill at the home level?
Completely agree that, Mr. Chairman.
Recognize.
Completely agree, Representative, that we do have the ability to overturn this at the local decision. However, somebody's going to have to pay for the transportation impacts. You know, just because the small developer is not going to have to pay it, somebody still has to pay for that road. So it's either going to be the taxpayers or it's going to be a large-scale development down the road. Somebody's going to have to pay for the adequate infrastructure to be in place. And so with that in mind, we think that the local decision would better be best to answer that question and be able to make an answer that the community is better with.
Representative Castor-Dental has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you say that cities already have the ability to waive the impacts?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes. Cities have it. It's optional. In 2011, the legislature passed the Growth Management Planning Act, and it said that cities can either charge transportation concurrency or not. It's optional. Many of our cities have not charged it because they think it's best, and some of our cities have continued to charge it because they think it's necessary.
Representative Hudson, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Cruz, I know we talked about this bill yesterday in my office, and As I see the strike all, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but based on the strike all, the county still has the ability to opt out. the county wouldn't be obligated to do this if it would invalidate any existing debt obligations and agreements related to bonds. So how does this not create flexibility for the local government?
Senator Cruz, you're Mr. Cruz, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Nice promotion. Maybe.
I appreciate
I don't know.
Maybe. Representative, I think you are correct. There's still flexibility in place, and for that, I thank Representative LaRosa for working with us and trying to address our concerns. However, I think, you know, by passing this as a law, you're just going to pass the buck down the road, and somebody at the local level is going to have to try to make the same decision that we're doing in this room, and that decision can already be made locally. And so, in essence, what are we doing? If we already have the ability to make that decision locally, then why do we need this law?
Seeing no further questions, thank you, Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Porter, you're recognized for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to take a moment to recognize a group that has traveled here today from Columbia County. These are some very fine, upstanding young people who are very interested in our government and how it works. And they are always very professional, very involved, and if you ever want to see how a speech is done, this is the group to look to. And that is our local Columbia County FFA. Please stand, guys, and be recognized. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to the committee. Next speaker we have is Charles Pattison from 1,000 Friends of Florida.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Charles Pattison. I'm president of 1,000 Friends of Florida. My nonprofit has been involved with the Growth Management Act since it was passed in 1985. I won't repeat what Mr. Cruz just told you, but we would completely agree with the comments that the bill is not necessary. I do want to thank Representative LaRosa. I know it's been narrowed, and he told me he would do that. But again, to us, this is a bill that is not necessary. The local governments already have the authority to do this, and I think whether it's a 5,000-square-foot building or a 100,000-square-foot building, the decision to waive those kind of fees should rest with the local government, not Tallahassee. I used to work for the agency DCA that was abolished a couple of years ago, and or last year, and the thing that they had the hardest time learning was one size does not fit all. And I'm afraid that's what this would present you with, so I ask that you not favorably consider it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Carrie Hebrank, Florida Home Builders Association.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Florida Home Builders Association. Please support the bill.
Thank you. We also have Eric Poole from the Florida Association of Counties. He's an opponent of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the benefits of being the last opponent is you get to kind of check a bunch of things off your list, but appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you today. I spoke to you last week on a very similar issue on transportation concurrency, Representative Ray's bill, and I have met with the bill sponsor twice on this issue, and he has certainly softened the what I would call a preemption. It's basically what I want to just emphasize is this is simply a home rule issue for us. We've had you basically got three issues in here. You've got prop share, impact fees, and concurrency, and two of those issues, of course, we dealt with last week in a bill. All I want to say is that I would liken this to the federal government coming to the state of Florida and telling the legislature that you can't use a documentary stamp tax on real estate transactions because it's an impediment to economic growth in the state. Today, the counties have the ability to waive impact fees. We've got a number of counties that have gone out and actually done that in the past several years. So again, for us, this is simply a home rule issue, and I don't think that the bill is actually necessary. But I appreciate the changes that Representative LaRosa has made in the bill. Thank you.
I have a brief question, Mr. Poole. My understanding of the strike all is that the counties could opt out by a simple majority vote of their commission. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Any other questions? Representative Hudson, you're recognized.
I wanted to ask this question, thank you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Cruz, but the same premise applies to you. Has the counties ever looked at, when they've done moratoriums or considered moratoriums, at piecemealing it like this for capping it at certain square footage or certain units? Or have they done a one-size-fits-all approach?
When the economy really started to tank back in 2007, most were simply just suspending them altogether. In fact, I think a couple of days ago, Lee County reduced their impact fees by 80%. I haven't seen it done this way, specifically targeting a certain type of development. And now that I'm standing here, I'm not even sure, and I'm not an attorney, I'm going to be very careful in my comment, if you can actually carve out a specific type of development or use and waiving those type of impact fees. But that's one of the issues I thought about as I was walking over here today.
Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Follow up, Mr. Chair, if I could.
Follow up, briefly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last question, and you had mentioned for the counties that they can waive this on a case-by-case basis, but St. John's County, I know, looked to do a moratorium, and they've given out vouchers before, previous too, and they opened themselves up for lawsuits when they tried to do this moratorium because, obviously, you've given some type of, you know, financial voucher, and now you're taking that away. Would you agree that if we do this, it would take the handcuffs off of counties that have done that, like St. John's County, where they're not open for lawsuits anymore?
You're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I'm uncertain. And I know what counties and cities have done in the past has done this for affordable housing. But for equal protection, they've gone in and subsidized the impact fee waiver for those from general revenue or from another funding source. It's my history of knowledge on that.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience wishing to speak as to the strike all or as to the bill as amended? Seeing none, are there any members who wish to debate the bill? Representative Watson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to support the bill. I also believe in the autonomy of local government, being a 30-year employee of government and a former city manager. But it also gives the local municipality the autonomy to vote the development up or down with a majority vote. When you look at concurrency issues, traffic concurrency, stormwater, and zoning and issues of that nature, the developer has to submit a development plan. They have to submit it to the planning department. It has to be reviewed. The local municipality or county will have the autonomy to evaluate and assess the information that's provided and determine whether they have the ability, the concurrency, or revenue to allow such development. If they don't, they can vote 3-2 down. If they do, they can vote 3-2 up. That is the reason I support this bill. I would not have supported it with a supermajority as it initially was, but I certainly support the bill now because government will have the autonomy to make the decision.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Recognized. Yeah, that one. We'll leave the other.
You go first. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the confusion. I'm going to support this bill. Representative Larissa, I think you've done a great job in scaling it back and getting all parties kind of together, even though you still have a little bit of opposition on this. One thing we failed to mention, you know, this is, like you said, more urban areas, more urban areas, and the taxes that, you know, with this land sitting there, taxes either going unpaid or very small, when you build a 6,000 square foot building and you bring in employees and employers, the taxes that they're generated from this are a big deal, and I think it's the message that you're sending out there that, look, small business, we're ready to help you out in the state of Florida, and I think the fact that you have given the chance for the counties to overturn this, I think it's a great thing, and I think we're not doing any mandates on anyone here, so I'm supportive of this bill. Thank you.
Representative Hudson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative LaRosa, I think it's a great bill. I think you put a lot of onus back on the counties. Frankly, I think you give them more self-rule and more self-determination for them to recognize what is appropriate in their county and how they can compete against the other counties in the state to generate business for them. They have the opportunity to see what works in their community, what won't work in their community, at the end of the day, how they can be aggressive to make jobs and opportunities happen. And I think this is a great tool in the toolbox.
Any other members wishing to debate? Representative Rogers, and we'll work to the side of the room.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative, there's no better advocate for small businesses than I do. In my city, all we have are small businesses, so I would want to give them everything. But I'm here to tell you I don't need to tie as a former local government official. There's no need for this new bill. we already have that flexibility, that autonomy, as was expressed by other speakers. So why do we need this? I'm also saying this bill, if it is good in 2013 to guarantee those small businesses an opportunity to come in and have us raise those fees, why isn't it good in 2018? Why is there a repealer date associated with this bill? The economy is still at risk, and it will still need stimulus in 2015, 16, 17, 18. We're not there yet, but I'm still all for local control, and we know what's best for local communities, and we have different issues happening in different communities. And taking away additional fees from local government, property values are still down. I could say that to my housing agencies and all of that. And we still need to make sure, and if we're talking about businesses coming in, I would hope their employees would be in our school system because they would want to live in the communities that they relocate that business to. We need the fees, you know. So I'm just saying we already have that flexibility. We don't need Big Daddy State to give us additional restrictions or love our small businesses more than we do. We do love our small businesses, and we try our best to take care of them. I'm down on this bill for those reasons.
Thank you, Representative Rogers. Representative Castor-Dental, if you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative LaRosa, for this bill. And I've talked to you about it briefly. It seems like currently the impact fees and the concurrency are the default, and that cities and counties can waive that according to their needs. And what you're trying to do is flip that so that the impact fees are waived. That's the default. There are no impact fees, but cities and counties can reinstate them. I don't have a real problem with the bill, but I don't see it as really necessary. So I'm going to be voting against it.
Representative Cumby, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to support the bill, and I think what Representative LaRosa is trying to do is to provide a period of certainty, which is what so many people are looking for these days, that they know they can go get a project going, and for a period of time we'll be able to get that project up and running and complete. You know, I've heard the mention of fast food restaurants. Well, I will tell you, it's my belief, and I'll argue this with anybody, that fast food restaurants want to be at the corner of Main and Main if they can afford to pay the price, and they want to be there because that's where the traffic is. Rooftops, residential construction is what generates traffic, not a McDonald's. If that was the case, McDonald's would be building 20 miles outside of every town instead of paying the price at Main and Main. So I appreciate what Representative LaRosa is trying to do here, and hopefully it will generate some jobs and opportunity in Osceola and Polk and other parts of the state.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Eagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm certainly supportive of home rule, and I think that the counties still have home rule. They're able to vote this up or down. We're just providing the lead and starting the initiative. So I'm all for this bill, and I thank you for bringing this forward, Representative LaRosa.
Thank you. Any other members wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative LaRosa, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cumby, you hit it right on the head. At the end of the day, this is all about confidence, right? Representative Hudson talked a little bit about the process of how this works. And right now, a lot of cities and counties do have a moratorium on their impact fees. But what becomes the issue is all of a sudden that impact fee is now coming up to possibly expire. Well, as a business owner, I go look for my piece of property. I go to contact my civil engineer. I contact my architect. I contact my contractor. I start working through the motions, and all of a sudden this starts to take some time. It doesn't happen in 2 months or 3 months or sometimes 6 months. It may take an entire year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years to ultimately get my project or what it is that I'm trying to do off the ground. So what I'm trying to do is restore that confidence that Representative Cumby was talking about, is giving our businesses in the state of Florida the ability to see far out that, hey, 3 years from now, I'm still falling under this impact fee or this moratorium impact fee, so I can continue to move forward. I think this sets the stage outside of the state of Florida. Right now, the environment's right. Interest rates are low. Construction costs are low. But impact fees are still a high barrier to entry for many into the marketplace. So I think if we're saying, hey, we're welcome and open to business here in the state of Florida, I think this bill does that. Allows people to come in, move their practice, expand their business, and say, hey, we're here to work with you. So in that, I do look for your support. I hope that you support this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Rosa. Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter? Representatives Albritton?
Yes.
Anton?
Yes.
Cumbie?
Yes.
Dental?
No.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Reed? Rogers?
No.
Smith?
Yes.
And Watson?
Yes.
By your vote, your bill is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative La Rosa.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is House Bill 661 by Representative Hood relating to tax exemptions. Representative Hood, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee. I appreciate the opportunity to provide another bill to bring and preserve high-paying jobs. Last year, we exempted sales tax on repair and maintenance of fixed-wing aircraft, but it was an oversight. They didn't do it for helicopters. We have 1,600 rotary helicopters in the state of Florida. So what we'd like to do this year is exempt sales tax on repair and maintenance of helicopters so we can preserve high-paying jobs. These are aircraft maintenance and aircraft repair jobs, and these are high-priced jobs. And that's essentially what this bill does.
Are there any questions for Representative Hood? Seeing none, is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak? Seeing none, are there any members who wish to debate the bill? Seeing none, Representative Hood, you're recognized to waive close.
I got 40 minutes to close. I waive close.
Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter? Representatives Albritton?
Yes.
Anton?
Yes.
Cumbie?
Yes.
Dental?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yeah.
Hudson?
Yes.
Reed? Rogers?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And Watson?
Yes.
By your vote, House Bill 4045 is reported favorably. I'm sorry. 661 is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Next on the agenda, we have House Bill 4045 by Representative Rollison relating to agricultural lands. Representative Rollison, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was very charitable of you. I appreciate that. House Bill 4045 repeals Section 604.006. The Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services already maps agricultural lands in Florida, and the Department of Economic Opportunity does not have the technical capability to perform such a function. So we are repealing this statute because it's duplicative in nature. And that, Mr. Chairman, is the bill.
Are there any questions for Representative Rollison? Representative Hudson, you're recognized.
Representative Rollison, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there any way you could present this bill in poetry, like the last time?
Representative Rollison, you're recognized.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Silence is golden.
Are there any members in the audience who wish to speak to the bill? Seeing none, are there any? Oh, sorry, we do have some. Doug Mann, AIF. Thank you. Sissy Proctor, DEO. Thank you. Anyone else who wishes to speak to the bill? Seeing nobody else, are there any members who wish to debate the bill? Seeing none, Representative Rollison, recognize the close on your bill.
Waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Sandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter?
Yes.
Representatives Albritton?
Yes.
Anton?
Yes.
Cumbie?
Yes.
Dental?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson? Hudson?
Yes.
Reed? Rogers?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And Watson?
Yes.
By your vote, House Bill 4045 is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Our last bill on the agenda is House Bill 357 by Representative Boyd. It will be presented by his legislative aide this afternoon. You are recognized.
Thank you.
We'll start with the strike all amendment.
Okay, perfect. The strike all amendment on HB 357 is technical in nature, but it does make some clarifications to DEO's role in the program. And that's the strike.
Any questions on the strike all amendment? Seeing none, anybody in the audience who wishes to speak as to the strike all amendment? Seeing none, are there members who wish to debate the strike all amendment? Seeing none, the strike all amendment will be adopted without objection. We're now on the bill as amended. You're recognized to explain the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 357, as amended, authorizes local governments to adopt by ordinance a local manufacturing development program, which is purely voluntary for local governments. The program would allow manufacturers to obtain master plan approval for manufacturing sites at the local level. the master plan would set outer limits on the site that would remain applicable over the term of the master plan. Once the master plan is approved, manufacturers would not need further local approval for future expansion or modification, except for building code, life, or safety issues. The manufacturer is not required to apply for the master plan and can opt to use the existing approval process. The incentive to this is that local governments that adopt the program are identified in materials maintained and distributed by Enterprise Florida. This is a means of local government self-identification that can be used by Enterprise Florida when recruiting and placing manufacturing facilities. In essence, this creates some level of competition among counties for new manufacturing facilities.
Any questions for the bill sponsor?
No.
Seeing none. Are there any members in the audience who wish to speak? We have Letitia Adams, Florida Chamber of Commerce. She's a proponent.
It's all yours. It'll be all good. Florida Chamber of Commerce. Florida's manufacturing industry represents about 5% of the non-ag private industry jobs in Florida. Wages for manufacturing jobs are higher than the average job in Florida. This current administration and this legislature has made an invested effort towards increasing our trade and our international profile. Manufacturing is a key part of that. By creating this coordinated process in which the development order and the permits all work together at the same time, you get to a point where Florida starts making itself look a lot more competitive and helps with the expansion of prospective, new, expanding, current, and future manufacturers in the state, and we support this bill heavily and thank you for your support.
Thank you, Ms. Adams.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
A question by Representative Rogers for Ms. Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know you're advocating for this bill. Do you know how long it will take DEO to establish that ordinance that local government can or may not adopt?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, you recognize.
DEO, as I understand, should be able to have it done before the end of the calendar year.
Yes, they have to do it by December 1st.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Our next person is Nancy Stevens, Executive Director, Manufacturers Association of Florida. Thank you. Martha Chumbler, Associate Industries of Florida.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. AIF strongly supports this bill. I'm happy to answer any questions of a technical nature that anyone may have about this bill. Again, I think this bill is really going to incentivize local governments that choose to have manufacturing in their jurisdiction, and I emphasize that because it really is left up to the local jurisdiction whether they want to adopt this program or not. Those local governments that want to attract manufacturing can adopt these programs and offer a big incentive, a big inducement for manufacturers to come to their jurisdictions and expand within their jurisdiction.
Thank you, ma'am. I don't see any questions. Thank you. David Cruz, Legislative Advocate, Florida League of Cities. Thought you were going to wave in support.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, extremely brief. David Cruz, the Florida League of Cities. We're very supportive of the bill. We just have one small concern that I've spoken to Representative Boyd about, and I hope to address as the bill moves forward. That concern deals with the provision in the bill that once a city opts into the program, we would have to stay with the program for 2 years, even if we decide to get out. And so that's our small concern that we have. We hope we could address that with the sponsor as the bill moves forward. But we think that by having that provision in the bill, it might disincentivize a city from trying to opt into the program because they don't want to tie the hands of a future council. If there's a big change in the council and the council goes up for election, new members on there, and they want to go in a different direction, if they want to vote a new ordinance to get out of the program, they would have to wait 2 years. And so we hope to address that with the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz.
Thank you.
Next, we have John Barnott, the Manatee County Government.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, John Barnott, Director of Building Development Services, Manatee County. A huge supporter of this bill. We'd like to see your support. We practice this already. One of our better customers, Tropicana, we approved the master plan process for them, so they can react to the market when they need to, and not based on our schedule, but theirs. They can also take advantage of the time value of money and quickly get through the process. So we're a huge supporter of this, and We think it's a good thing.
Thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak? Seeing none, are there any members who wish to debate the bill? Representative Rogers, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm debating in support. At one point I was saying no, and then I'm saying yes, because when it was explained that we have that two-year limit as local government to before we can repeal, I think we need to provide some surety or some confidence in the process. So 2 years is good, and it can be also an incentive for that manufacturing company or whomever that is moving or looking to move into the community. And if we adopt this local ordinance or this process, then they have 2 years to move, if not to get it done as quickly as possible before a change in government. So I'm going to support it now, because I know that there is a plan representative that you're going to be working with the League of Cities. Hopefully we can be in agreement there, and I will have another chance to vote on this in the next committee that it will be coming. I will be able to see this bill. So I'm glad that you can tell the rep that we're looking forward to the cities being comfortable with that timeline for them to change their minds if they so choose. They are local government. They know what they want for their communities. That's why they were elected. So if we can work that out, then you have my support here today, but when it gets there the next time, you might not if we don't see some traction there. So I thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for this good bill.
Just so we're clear, Representative Boyd's legislative assistant is presenting the bill. Representative Boyd is much older and much less attractive than the sponsor. So.
Mr. Chair.
Any other members in debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Okay. Wave close.
Thank you. Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter?
Yes.
Representative Zalbritton?
Yes.
Anton?
Yes.
Cumbie?
Yes.
Dental?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yep.
Hudson?
Yes.
Reed? Rogers?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And Watson?
Yes.
By your vote, committee substitute for House Bill 357 is reported favorably. Thank you. Is there any further business before the committee? Seeing none, Representative Hudson moves we rise.